Welcome back to another episode of My Neighbors Are Dead. I'm your host, Adam Peacock, and we're all familiar with the big names in horror, Freddy, Jason, The Shimmer, but who we're not familiar with are the ones just outside the terror, the ones who didn't get to tell their tales. I think the Home Alone story is great if you're a kid. You go to sleep one day, your parents and family are gone, and all your responsibilities evaporate at the same time. That's great. I don't know if that whole situation plays out so well as an adult, especially if you're gone for a while and you find out everyone you know and love has been murdered. I guess it's a little different, but that's what this week's guest went through, and I got to experience the Home Alone scenario from an adult perspective. I traveled to a Bojangles. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to another episode of My Neighbors Are Dead. I'm your host, Adam Peacock, coming to you this week from a place that I've been looking forward to coming my whole life, and I'm finally getting the chance to do it. I'm sitting down at a lakeside Bojangles with Neighborhood Watch Command, Hank Huge. Thank you for being here, Hank.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate that, and thank you just for giving me the opportunity to sort of publicly apologize for just massively dropping the ball with this whole murder situation. That was a huge F up on my part.
Well, let's jump right into it then, because, you know, this is a beautiful place. This lake is gorgeous. Everybody seems to be just kind of living their best lives, except for the Farber family. We can talk about them first, as it's been pretty well public. You know, it's public knowledge. There's been several murders up here, pretty violent and gruesome.
Yeah.
Being the head of the Neighborhood Watch, that's really got to hit you tough.
Yeah, that was a tough break for us, I'll be honest. We completely just S'd the bed. What had happened was, you know, I'm going out on patrol, and I see all these two guys, two polite young men wearing white polo shirts, carrying golf clubs. And I see them hanging out with different families all around the neighborhood. And, you know, they're telling me, oh, these are our sons-in-law, and oh, these are our business associates, you know, friends or whatever. And I'm thinking, damn, these guys get around, you know, like these guys know everybody. These must be some of the nicest dudes you could meet. And then soon after, we had discovered that they sort of systematically murdered every single family in the neighborhood. And, you know, that is a tough thing to find out as command of the Neighborhood Watch. That's the exact thing we're supposed to prevent.
Well, let me ask you this, Hank, because, you know, when I was a kid, I would go up north in Michigan, and we would have, it's kind of a similar vibe to what's going on here. My uncles would have a place on the lake. You know, everybody kind of knows each other, and there are, you know, there's police and there are, you know, emergency response teams. And for the most part, not to be dismissive, I always thought, boy, that's kind of cute, you know, like, cause no one's going to need any cops up here. It's pretty quiet. So was that any part of your thought process before the murders? I mean, because I don't think anybody would blame me if it was.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're all friends up here. You know, we all know each other, and you know, everyone said there's no need for a neighborhood watch, but I said, well, you know, I'm gonna take this self-appointed role, and I'm gonna walk around the neighborhood with my utility belt and my sunglasses and my walkie-talkie. Mm-hmm. And everyone wanted me to stop doing it, but turns out, guess what? We needed a neighborhood watch, and we also needed a much more effective one because, as I said, everyone was murdered. Terrible, terrible.
I don't know. That seems like a situation that you prepare for in your mind, but you don't really know what's going to happen. I don't know how I would have reacted in that situation either, Egg.
Yeah, it's a tough break, and you know, because they came to my house too.
Oh, they did, Peter.
They did. They, you know, they had come to my house, doing the whole "can we get some eggs" kind of ruse, and luckily I was not home at the time. I was participating in a hands on a hard body contest, trying to win a truck, and so luckily I was not there, and they were caught soon after.
Now, hands on a hard body. I know this isn't the point, but how did that go? Did you win the truck? Did you get close?
No, I lost pretty severely. I have what is known as hyperhidrosis. So my hands sweat, greatly. And so at a certain point, a couple hours in, my hand slipped off the hood. I lost my balance and just cracked my head right on the front of the car. And I went into a coma for 2.5 weeks. And then I woke up from the coma and found out everyone I knew had been murdered in my neighborhood. So that was tough to hear. That was tough to hear as soon as I had awoken.
Yeah, I was at an arcade one time and there was a hands-on a Metallica pinball machine. And of course, you know, I didn't enter, but I can imagine that really? Would be tough because that seems like something you could do so easily. But your hyperhidrosis, Hank, maybe that saved your life.
Maybe it did. And, I count my blessings for that. You know, I really do. I count my blessings. I wasn't there, you know, yeah. But that's how it goes.
So when you wake up from a coma and you find out all your friends have been murdered,
right.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm thinking about something else.
I'm getting choked up over here. Just thinking about it.
I'm sorry. You're getting sad and I'm laughing and that's not funny. What does that do to you mentally? You know, do you even think about the position of the neighborhood watch command after realizing all of these murders have taken place?
Yeah, it's a pretty harsh, like, mental breakdown immediately to find out that information. But I said, Hank Huge, you got to pull up your neighborhood watch pants, pull up your belt, get some more supplies and just go at it and give it, you know, 200% instead of the 100 you were doing earlier. You know, pick yourself off the floor. Don't feel sorry for yourself. So I got myself a whole bunch of new tools to protect this lake neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I have what I call hankarangs, and they're essentially batarangs, but they're shaped like the letter H.
Very cool.
And I'm not very good at throwing them because of my hyperhidrosis, but they tend to slip out and, you know, I've hurt more people than I have saved, but I'm getting the hang of it.
Why not leave? I can't imagine if I were in your shoes, you know, why not just leave the town and start a new life somewhere else?
You know, I feel I have a responsibility to this neighborhood now. I really do, because after getting everybody, you know, killed, I really thought I need to stay here and make sure this never happens again. And also, you know, I, my lake house, I don't want to leave my lake house. It's nice. It's my family's house, you know? I inherited that from my parents.
I get that. I get that. And, you know, this lake, it feels like home, I would imagine.
It feels like home. It feels like home.
Those who have survived that maybe you weren't on the best of terms with, how has their response been to you? Has the town kind of gathered around you, circled the wagons, for lack of a better term, to make you feel better?
Yeah, well, they have actually started a competing neighborhood watch of their own that they think will be much more effective. So they've kind of become like, is it too dramatic to say I've become arch rivals with the rest of the town, essentially, because now we're, you know, they are having like elections for neighborhood watch command. I've got my unofficial one on the side and I'm running around with my hankarangs and everything. And, you know, I used to have a game night for a whole neighborhood would come over to my lake house for a game night. Not a single person has shown up since, you know, the events. And you know, most of them are dead, but, you know, there's a couple other ones that could have shown up, you know, but they don't like the idea of games now. If you read the news article, remember the guys were playing games,
right?
With the, you know, their victims, you know.
Boy, it really makes you think how somebody could do that to somebody else, you know. Really, I don't know, some sort of introspective crisis. Could I do that? Am I capable of that? I don't know.
I hope not. If you are, you have to tell me. That's the neighborhood watch law. Okay. Are you capable of murder? I'm asking you that point blank right now.
I don't know. Well, I think we're all capable of it. I don't know if I want to do it though.
Is that a yes? Okay. Hold on. I'm sorry. I'm pulling out my handcuffs. These are handcuffs. Instead of circles, it's two H's that lock together. I'm going to need you to stand up in the middle of this Bojangle so I can cuff you right now.
No, Hank, I promise. I'm sorry. I'm not a threat.
All right.
You know, I'm probably just having some kind of superhero complex.
All right. Hank, stand down. That's what I have to tell myself.
So let me get a little personal here for a second. What's your love life like around here? Because, you know, Lake Lovin, there's no lovin' like Lake Lovin.
There's no, I have a beautiful wife. She actually is sort of the moneymaker in the family. I don't have a job. I do mainly this. Security is really my passion. But my wife has made an absolute fortune. You ever heard of Please Excuse My Dear Aunt Sally?
I don't believe that I have.
The mnemonic device? The order of operations? Subtraction, sure. Addition? Excuse my dear aunt. My wife invented that mnemonic device, and it's used in schools across the country. And, you know, you could be asking yourself, how do you even make money from something like that? And
that was going to be my next question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The answer is she gained notoriety from that. So like appearance fees, sponsorships, okay, that kind of thing, you know, speaking engagements. So
a celebrity in the education world.
She's a celebrity, exactly, in the education and mathematics world. And so we live off of her reputation.
That's great. That security is really nice. That's really wonderful.
Exactly. Exactly. I have financial security, and I'm trying to provide actual physical security, you know? So we're two sides of the same coin in a way, my wife and I.
You know, Hank, kind of hearing, now that, you know, we're talking and we're kind of putting this together, all of the never again signs around town are making way more sense with this election.
Yeah.
So I think that's great. There's been a lot of speculation as to who these two upstanding gentlemen may even be. I've heard some people whispering about their angels or their demons or their gods. You know, where do you fall on that? Because it is a pretty brutal thing that you wouldn't think two humans could do, but I don't know. Maybe man's the worst animal of all.
You know, honestly, in my mind, in order for them to have gotten past me and my team, I have to imagine that there's some sort of phantom, living phantoms, like some sort of supernatural beings that are able to bypass any security checkpoints I might have placed up. So you're actually kind of, kind of gave me an out here. I never thought about it like that, but maybe they are. Maybe they're supernatural. Maybe they're ghosts and I did nothing wrong. And then there was no way I could stop it.
Well, buddy, it's not my place to say this, but I don't want you carrying that burden. You didn't do anything wrong to begin with. You know, you were just a guy trying to win a truck, and that's
exactly
it. You know,
I just wanted a truck that my wife probably could have easily bought me, but I wanted to earn something for myself for once. And the only way to do it was to enter this hands on hard body contest. And God, what an unfortunate series of events.
You know what? For the town that has turned against you, I say this. Hank Huge, you are a stand-up man who cares about his community. He's a motivated man. You're a motivated man to take this upon yourself, and you have pride. You wanted to win that truck, and I think those are three very admirable things for a neighborhood watch command to have.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm choking up right now. I'm tearing up. I never had someone be this nice to me.
And I'm laughing again, and I don't mean to laugh.
Please don't laugh. Please don't laugh, because I'm getting upset.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Well, Hank Huge, my goodness, what a delight it is to talk to you. I hope things turn around for you, because you're a good guy.
I hope so too. I hope so too. And let me just, you know, say this. I know the competing neighborhood watch don't want me to get involved in these things, but if these two phantoms ever walk their way back into this town, I will throw so many hankerangs at them that they will be sent straight back to hell where they came from. And I promise you that.
It's your vote, folks.
It's your vote. Democracy works, okay?
Hank Huge, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, neighbors. Adam here. Have you been enjoying My Neighbors Are Dead? Well, there are two quick and easy ways you can show your support that only take a second. First, leave us a rating and review in your podcast player of choice. That can be anything from talking about a recent episode to suggesting a film for a future guest. And two, make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss future episodes. It helps you, it helps us, and it helps new folks find the podcast. Thanks, and now back to the show. I am joined this week by actor, comedian. You may know him as the angry IKEA guy. He's also from Cocaine Bear. Scott Cease, how are you, buddy?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
So we did Funny Games. Why did you pick this movie?
I
find the movie to be terrifying. I think the genre of horror that really gets me is home invasion. Like home invasion stuff, Funny Games, The Strangers, you know, whatever. Any aspect of that, that is the stuff that scares me the most and I have like the toughest time watching. So that movie's like always, you know, stuck with me. But I love horror, any genre of horror.
Did you watch this week's Barry or the Barry finale?
Yes, I did.
That shot of that guy in the house with Sally?
Yes.
Oh my God, that's one of the eeriest things I've seen in a long time.
Any movie or TV show that has the shot of like someone standing in their house and then there is the home invader also standing in the same room with them, but they don't know that they're there. Yeah. That is the scariest shit of all time. Like I think that happens in The Strangers too, where you see like someone like in the background who's just waiting. It's horrifying. Yeah.
God, what are some other good, I mean, because those ones get me too. This one particularly is really, it's kind of, I feel gross watching it, like in a good way.
Yes, yes. It's incredibly effective. You know, I was just talking to my wife about this, but I was like, I can't watch it without squirming around the entire time. Like I have to, it makes me so uncomfortable. It's torture.
And I feel bad saying this because I'm sure he's a lovely guy, but Michael Pitt is one of the most unsettling looking human beings I've ever seen. Like he's so just eerie and he does what he does so well and he's the perfect guy.
Yes.
But, oh God. He's just so like,
it's one of those people. It's like, if I see you in anything else, man, I can't sympathize with this guy.
No, he's like Ben Foster. The first time I saw Ben Foster in something where he was playing a psycho, I was like, I can't. That's it. Like,
that's it forever. That's who you are now.
When we were doing the bit, some of those things, like I was reading up on, you know, the movie and like watching some interviews and takes and stuff. And that is one thing, like a theory is that there's supposed to be some kind of gods or angels or demons or something like that. I don't know if you subscribe to anything like that, but I thought that was kind of an interesting take.
Oh yeah. I think that they are just people, but they do in the new version, at least I've never seen the original, but they do a lot of like the fourth wall breaking. And there's the one part where you rewound time. Oh my God, I forgot to do. I wanted to say that there was a moment where all the laws of physics had broken and Hank Huge felt time rewind. And like, he didn't think it was suspicious or he didn't like care about it because he was eating a payday bar. So he got to eat a payday bar two times. So he just thought it was like a good thing. thought of it but anyway I do think it's like some sort of comment on like obviously like media or something, like, oh, we want to watch like these people get tortured, we want to watch like the violence. And they're kind of like, they're almost like the screenwriters or the directors kind of bringing the audience through it or something like that.
I don't know if this is the appropriate take to have for this, but given that I just saw the Sackler family got immunity from their case, watching a movie like this again, when you see this happening to rich people, there's a small part of his cat that goes like, good.
That is hilarious. That is hilarious.
I don't know what these people did, but I don't know.
Well, I was reading forwarding through the movie like earlier today, just to remind myself of a couple of things. And I looked up like the Wikipedia plot summary and Wikipedia says they're torturing a middle-class family. I was like, middle class?
What middle class? What are you talking about?
There's summer houses, like a mansion on a lake. And it's like, just a, you know, innocent middle class family.
I mean, I think I grew up middle class, like lower. And like, if somebody had a boat, you're like, look at this motherfucker.
I know. It's like, Jesus, is your dad the president? Like, or whatever, you know?
Wow, your dad must own the town.
Yeah.
Were you a horror kid growing up?
No, not particularly, but Amanda, my wife, is a huge horror fan. And when we started dating in college, she was showing me just the worst shit you could imagine. Like the most disturbing things you could imagine. Like, you know, we were watching, you know, Martyrs and the Poughkeepsie tapes and like all this kind of crazy stuff. The Loved Ones, that's another one that's like one of her favorites, one of my favorites too. But so now I'm super into it because of her. And now I kind of like eventually just got it that it was like, there's something fun about just how wild and how far like these movies will escalate the violence. And it's just fun to be scared, you know. It's fun to be scared.
And I think, you know, it's so cliche and dorky, I'm gonna sound like a up my own ass, but like the comedic instincts are the exact same.
Yes.
You know, like it's yes. so fun to relate to that and see it work in that way too.
I totally agree. Like the loved ones specifically, I think is it escalates so well that it just keeps ramping up how disturbing like the father and the daughter are, that like it really is. It's like a sketch. Like, well, we have to go to the moon now at the end. Yeah, it has to be so crazy.
I was watching a thing, I think it's on like the New Yorker or something. They do like, they profile a director and how they create a scene. And they did the Jordan Peele scene of Us.
Oh,
when
God.
when the tethered family first shows up.
Oh yeah.
And they're standing outside.
Home invasion.
Like, yeah.
Home invasion, like, sequence.
Exactly. Yes. And the bit of the dad, like the comedic bits of the dad and everything, and just how the tension works both for the horror and the comedy. It's really, it's cool.
It's so cool. Yeah. I love horror.
Did you have an experience as a kid? Anything like, you know, buddies at a sleepover watching something, or somebody dared you to watch The Exorcist?
I think The Shining is one that I remember like being maybe like sixth grade or something and everyone turning it on. And I think we were turning it on in the sense of like, well, we're going to watch an old movie and like make fun of this. And then like cut to like an hour later, we're all completely fucking terrified.
It's the worst when you get tricked.
Right. We're like, oh my God, this is effective.
Yeah, I hate getting tricked in a movie, whether it scares me or something I thought was going to be stupid, turns out I really like.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I came into this to make fun of it.
God damn it.
That's how, like, you know, that's how I fell into The Bachelor with my wife. I'm like, well, I'm just going to watch just to make fun of it. Now I'm like into it.
Oh, yeah, I've had that happen to many shows. Yeah, Sister Wives. And
there's too much good stuff.
Survivor, The Challenge. I love all this like reality, like competition shows.
Oh, we too. Just got into Survivor too. We just met Zeke at a party the other night.
What?
Yeah. I walked in and was like, oh my God, that's Zeke.
Zeke is, oh my God, absolute king.
The best. Love that dude. Well, buddy, thank you so much for doing this, man. Where can people catch you on the road? What dates do you have coming up?
Oh yeah. So, I'm going to be in California doing shows in Sacramento and San Francisco on the 14th and 15th. I'm going to be in Texas, later on in June. All the tour stuff is on, you can find it on my Linktree, and you can find that on like at Scott Cease, S-E-I-S-S on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, anywhere on social media.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you so much, man. It was an absolute blast.
This is so fun, man. Please come back and do it again.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to My Neighbors Are Dead. I'm your host, Adam Peacock. The show is produced by myself, Nate DeFort, and Ryan Countshouse, with editing done by Nate DeFort. Our original music was composed by Jesse Case, with additional music by Dane Halverson. Our artwork was done by James Mulholland. And as always, we want to give a very special thank you to our old pal, Mark Nishon. I want to give a big thanks to Scott Cease for coming by and playing Hank Huge. You can catch Scott in the new video streaming release of Cocaine Bear. And if you want to know where he is on the road, check him out at scottcease.com. If you like the show and you want to support us, go to www.patreon.com/myneighborsaredead, where you can find new weekly bonus content only available to our Patreon patrons. If you have yet to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts, please take a second to do so now. It helps us grow and it helps new neighbors find the show. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at My Neighbors Are Dead and on Twitter at My Dead Neighbors. Stop by, give us a follow, and share your favorite episodes. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.